Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 6 to 25. Moses' blessing, and now we come to the tribes, the individual tribes. Now, I'm not going to go through these tribes one by one in detail. I could engage in what I call concordance preaching, which is find a word in each of the blessings and look up that word in the concordance and give you three or four texts with that word. And I've heard that done. Naphtali is a hind let loose. And I've heard three little discourses within that sermon where the word deer comes. Deer panting, the hart panting for the water brooks and so on. But that's not edifying at all. That's not what the passage is about. I could also engage in surmising and speculation about what these things mean, but it wouldn't be profitable to you. Overall, the individual tribes are blessed by Moses because they're blessed by God. This is a blessed people. Happy this people. Blessed are this people. The blessing of God is upon this people. And there are some rich words here. The profitability of this nation, the prosperity of this people. This is a blessed people because they are the people that God is going to use to convey his word into the world. The gospel is going to come through this nation because Christ is going to come from it. And it's all centering up in Christ. As I spoke, quoted the other day in a discourse, all things Jehovah arranged for the lifting of Jesus on high. Now, there are problems with this passage. Simeon is not mentioned. Is it because of his sin? Or is it he's an appendage to Judah? Some people think that's what it is, the Septuagint, I think. But of course, when you get to Revelation 7, the tribe of Dan is missing. So I can't explain these things, and there's no point in listening to my unprofitable speculation. I want to concentrate on one tribe. I could concentrate on Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, the blessing, the rich blessing of that tribe, of those tribes. I could speak of the beloved nature, the sweetness of God's blessings to these various tribes. But let me concentrate upon Levi. It's not because I've got a bee in my bonnet. It's because it's the emphasis of the book of Deuteronomy. It is the emphasis of the Old Covenant. Israel has to be a separated people, and it shows that separation by strict adherence to the covenant and the law. And what is Levi's responsibility? What is the blessing of Levi? What is Levi there for? What will God do through Levi? What is the privilege of Levi? I'm thinking of verses 8 to 11. About Levi, he said, your Thummim and Urim belong to the man you favored. God's method of guidance for Israel. You tested him at Massah. You contended with him in the waters of Meribah. He said of his father and mother, I have no regard for them. He did not recognize his brothers or acknowledge his own children. But what a testimony. He put above his own family, above his own relations. What did he put above it? But he watched over your word and guarded your covenant. You see the emphasis here. He teaches your precepts to Jacob and your law to Israel. He offers incense before you, the priesthood as well, is the covenant and the priesthood, the law. And it's all for the exaltation of Christ. I mean, it's only a shadow here in the Old Covenant, but the blessing of Levi is to be at the heart of this. The priesthood comes from it. The high priest comes from it. Christ, of course, comes from Judah. The shadow breaks down there. But that's to teach us, surely, that the Old Covenant priesthood was just ineffective. But it was a picture. But here, he is the teacher, the safeguard, the protector, the teacher of the law, the covenant, the commandments. He puts that above even his own family. He teaches your precepts to Jacob and your law to Israel. He offers incense before you. and whole burnt offerings on your altar. Bless all his skills, O Lord, and be pleased with the work of his hands. Smite the loins of those who rise up against him. Don't let the people go away from the covenant. Don't let them forget the priesthood. Don't let them forget it. Oh, what should we say in the new covenant? Don't let us forget the law of Christ, the covenant of Christ, because Christ is our great high priest, Savior, and Redeemer. Strike his foes till they rise no more. May Christ be exalted. If Levi was exalted in the old covenant, how much more should we think for the exaltation of Christ in the new? Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord for all Israel here, Levi in particular, I'm saying, maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. If we get the covenant right, God is saying to Israel, if you get the covenant right, then all will be well. The covenant and the priesthood, the law and so on. If you maintain that in the old covenant, if it all is well, if you're centered on that, then all will be well. Without that, nothing will be right. The equivalent in the new covenant, Christ, his covenant, his law, his blood, his righteousness, if that is at the heart of it, his saving mercy, if that is at the heart of our experience and life, then all is well. If that is in the churches, all is well. If that is dominant, all is well. But without that, nothing will be right.